Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory. So bright, so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy!" The angel,
Amen, amen. Well, welcome to the Sound Doctrine Broadcast. You listen to the Sound Doctrine Broadcast coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California, in the sunny side of the United States, in the most southwest city in California. And we have Sister Joanna with us tonight from Inverness, Florida, Sister Marilyn from Imperial Beach, and we want to thank you all for tuning in this evening. We're grateful to have these women with us this evening, these Christian ladies. Sister Joanna has been a Baptist and a Bible student since she was a child. She's going to bring forth tonight a wonderful message. And I hope the ladies out there are really enjoying this and are able to grow spiritually and something new the Lord will do in your life tonight. But I want to thank you. And I want to thank the listeners from around the world, and I want to welcome them and those who have emailed us and blogged us and put in our chat rooms, and we appreciate your comments and your messages, and we'd love to hear from you and continue to hear from you. Remember, you can archive these programs at any time. You can go to NathanOnTheSpot.com, look up Sound Doctrine Broadcast, Dr. Ventura, and you'll find that all our programs are there for you to archive. And if it's a little late on the East Coast and you miss some of this program, please feel free to archive it. And you can still come back, leave a comment. We'd appreciate it. We want to know you're out there. We want to know that the Lord is doing something in your life. And so I'm going to turn this program over. I'll open it up with a prayer, and then I'll turn it over to the ladies. And wonderful Christian women, love the Lord. Holy, it's good to see holy women in the world today. We live in a world that's so full of pollution and putrid behavior and dress, and these are holy women, and you can learn something from them. And I'm grateful for them. Praise Jesus. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Father God, that you would bless this program this evening, Lord, that you would bless Sister Joanna and Sister Marilyn as they bring forth the Word of God tonight, Lord, that you would touch hearts and open spiritual eyes and ears and give them revelation with wisdom and knowledge, that somebody would be edified, somebody will get saved tonight, Father God. Even if they're just channeling through their internet programs, Lord, bring them to this one. And I thank you, Holy Father, for your mercy, for your kindness, for this program, for these women, for this audience. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen. Hello, amen. Sister Joanna. I'm going to turn this over. Hey, amen, amen. It's a pleasure and an honor always to have you on, and Marilyn with you. It's a wonderful blessing. And we get so many comments, and people love you all, and the Lord have his way. And I'm going to turn it over to you ladies now, and God bless you both.
Thank you. Hey, Miss Marilyn.
Hello, young lady.
You good?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm good, too. I'm in for a little while and then running again. I was just telling Brother Peter, this is until about the 15th of October I'm running.
Okay. All right. Well, what are we learning tonight?
Well, you know, I am sorry I didn't get this to you last time. We're going to look at Hagar in the book of Genesis, Ishmael's mother. This is not going to be a prophecy lesson. She's just an interesting character that I feel like we can learn something from as women. And I pray, see how much God cares for women, and I'm praying that this will be a blessing tonight. There's a lot of Hagar's tied to a lot of history, or a lot of prophecy, and with the Muslim faith and that. But that's not what this is about tonight. This is just looking at a woman who was caught in some hideous circumstances, and what God did for her. I'm sure every one of us who are, I know Marilyn, I know me, in my life, there's some things, there have been some circumstances that you had absolutely no control over. And it put you in a place in your life that you just wondered how you were going to get out, or maybe even where God was at and what was going on in your life. And this account of Hagar is a wonderful lesson for all of us in how God helps us in our circumstances that we cannot control. The story is in Genesis chapter 16, and then there's another portion in Genesis. Let me get over here real quick. see. In Genesis, well, I had it marked and then I lost it. Genesis, oh my goodness, I had it marked and then now I've lost it, so forgive me. Genesis 21, and then again in Genesis 25, there's three mentions of Hagar or Ishmael, and we're going to look at those real quickly, and I pray I learn some things from them. This is a good lesson for single mothers. If we have single mothers that hear, that get this broadcast, or that Marilyn, that you may know, this is some wonderful lessons in here for single mothers also. So we'll begin reading in Genesis chapter 16, 1 through 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. We're in Abraham and Sarah's life before their names were changed and before they had Isaac. And this is a situation, is a cultural custom of that day that if the head lady of the clan did not have children, they would have a surrogate mother who would give this woman children so that the clan would continue, the tribe would continue, and that's where Abraham and Sarah are at in this account. So in verse 1, we see that she had no children. She had a handmaid whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when Hagar saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So, just some background here. These people, Abram and Sarai, were like nomads. They lived in tents, and Abraham was the leader, and Sarah was his wife. And when she gave Hagar to Abraham to get children, so that this would be like Sarah's own child. And when this happened, when Hagar was pregnant, this made her a kind of a big deal in that culture. And when she kind of looked down on Sarai after she found out she was going to have a baby, because this was going to kind of move her up, if you will. And so when Sarai saw this, she got real upset and kind of, what have I done? And got mad at her and dealt real hard with her. So this is where we're at in this portion of scripture. And something I want to just mention here, I'm sure that Hagar did not understand what was going on with her, because I'm sure she had heard Abram and Sarai talk about their God, and they should have been different. They should have lived differently, if you will. And Hagar did not see that. And before we get too hard on Abraham and Sarah, how many times do we as believers not behave like believers? And we hurt people, or we hurt our testimony or our witness with those people because of our behavior. And that's what happened here. In verse 7, after Hagar fled from Sarai, in verse 7, and an angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said to Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall be not numbered for the multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. The name Ishmael means God shall hear. That's what the little boy's name meant. And the angel continued talking, verse 12, and he'll be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me, for she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahoroi. And behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Then verse 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And this seems like a real strange story for us to be reading. And like I said, we're not going to get into all the prophecy that's in here and the things that, the way that this relationship has affected our world today. What I'm praying, I would like to get to us as ladies tonight, is what God did for Hagar. Number one, she's a woman, and in that culture, women weren't given a lot of clout, if you will. They were treated like cattle. So the amazing thing about this scripture is that the very God of heaven saw Hagar's plight and sent an angel of the Lord to come speak to her, to come comfort her. I'm always amazed when I read the scripture. And in verse 7, where it says that she was on the way to Shur, that word Shur means that there was a wall that divided some territory there, and that wall was called Shur. And here's a woman on the way just to hit a wall. And I'm sure a lot of ladies, if they have them listening tonight, Marilyn, you know, and I know, how many times in my life, if I felt like I was going to hit the wall, I just felt like things were so out of control that I was going to hit a wall. And God intervened. God intervened in this girl's life, in Hagar's life, and spoke to her about her son and told her what to name him. And he had a wonderful name. His very name was a blessing to Hagar. God shall hear. And here's a woman running from some horrible circumstances, and God gives her this promise that he would hear her. I just think this is so, so wonderful, and an encouragement for us as godly women, or as women who, if you're listening and don't know the Lord, as Hagar didn't, God intervened in her life and helped her. And I pray the same, that you will see God's hand in your life and see the things that he's trying to warn you with. That as you're headed for the wall, this word Kadesh means sacred, and the word bered means troubled or stormy. So as she's going to this wall, she passes by a place called sacred and a place called troubled. And that's the decision God gives us in our life. We can we pass places where we need to make choices, and one is for the Lord, and one is that we make our own choice and go the wrong way, and trouble is there. So I pray as we continue on in this study that you will learn how God intervenes and wants you to make the right choice. So we see that she has the baby. His name is Ishmael, and we go on, and we're skipping over some scripture. But in the what we've skipped over, God has fulfilled his promise to Abraham and Sarah, changed their names, and sent them a son named Isaac. In chapter 21, we see that it says, beginning with verse 1, we'll start there. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. So when God told them that he was going to send a son, he kept his word. And Sarah, in her haste to help the Lord, which is what some of us try to do sometimes, made a mess. And in this mess, she hurt a woman and the son. There's a reason for that. And again, we're not going to get into all of that, but we don't need to get ahead of the Lord. We learned that from this with Sarah. If she had waited like she should have, the Lord kept his promise to her and sent her son Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given him children, should have given children suck, for I have born him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And they said that some of the scholars have said he's about 3 years old when this incident that we're going to read now occurs. Verse 9 of that chapter, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Because you know Abraham loved the Ishmael also. And here he was, because of what the boy had done, and Sarah's anger had to put him out. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called, because he was the son of promise. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And what's happened here, Abraham has sent him off with not much, very much provision. And that's given out. And she puts her son under a shade tree and says, I don't want to see him die. And as she gets over in a place where she could see him, look at verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make a great nation. For I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Now, the wonderful scene here is that God hears the cry of this young man and comes to his rescue, and also helps the mother and provides water for them that gives them life. And the Bible says that he grew. And the next time that we see Ishmael is at the death of Abraham in chapter 25, in verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And here his two sons meet again. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the valley, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Marm. So these two boys did meet again as they buried their father. And God continued to work in the lives of both of them. And they both became great nations because of they came from Abraham. But the emphasis tonight is on how God helped Hagar, this Egyptian woman, moved into her life, answered prayers, and saved her son. I don't know how many of y'all have seen the movie at Christmas time, It's a Wonderful Life. But as many of us know, life is not always wonderful. Job 5:7 says that man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. He says in 14:1, Job does, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And Jesus told us in John 16:33 that in this world we would have tribulation, but for us to be of good cheer because he had overcome the world. But as we, again, are promised problems in the world, how can Hagar's life, what can we learn from her life as the troubles that she had? Well, the first thing that I think God wants us to learn is that she had a struggle. Here she is, an Egyptian-born woman, sold as a slave, or given to Sarah as a slave. She was taken away from her country, her family, and her home. Can you imagine that? And we're not sure how old she was. She could have been as young as 12 or as old as 15 to 20 when this happened. And a lot of people have asked, how did Abraham get an Egyptian slave? Or do you remember he went in, there was famine in his country, and he went into Egypt, and he was a wealthy man, and when he left, the Pharaoh, or the king of Egypt, gave Abraham a lot of servants and animals to as a parting gift as he left the country. So that's probably where they got her at. And then as we watch Hagar's struggle, here she is given to Abraham as a wife, and kind of by Sarah to have children for her, just as a surrogate mother, if you will. And then she's treated harshly by two good people. So can you just imagine what she felt like? And can you imagine I pray we don't do it, but how sometimes we as believers can act so ugly until we hurt people and they don't want to know the gospel. They don't want to listen to our testimony because of our behavior. So as we go on with her life, God wants us to learn, first of all, that Hagar was in a struggle. I was in a restaurant today, and the little girl that waited on us was kind of short with me and the lady that I was having lunch with. And the lady that I was having lunch with said, you know, this girl is just kind of hateful. And I said, well, we don't know what kind of day she's had. We don't know what she's been through before she got to work today. A precious pastor of mine told me one time when we were in a restaurant, he said, many times these girls in here are single moms, and they're working every day to feed their children. And he said, always be sure you tip them good and leave a track to let them know, and as much as you can, talk to them. So when the little girl came back to the table, I thanked her for being so kind to us, and she stopped for just a minute, and she said, I think I was short with you at first. And she said, I want to apologize. She said, when I left my home today, my husband was not well, and I had to come to work. I couldn't stay home, and so I've not heard from him, so I don't know how he is. So many times in life when people are struggling, when we see that we shouldn't be a part of their problem, prayerfully, we'll be a part of their solution. And the first thing that we can learn from Hagar is she was in a struggle. Here she is, a young girl away from her home, strange people, strange customs, even strange food. And she's having to adjust to all that. And then she was not treated well by the people who brought her there. So how many people are victims of their circumstances, if you will? Kids that are born to parents that don't want them, or those kind of situations. We don't know what people, what their struggle is. We need to be kind and treat them in Christian love. The second thing that I think the Lord wants us to learn about Sarah is the sorrow. Look at all the sorrows that Hagar had. Here she's given to a man to be his wife. Can you just imagine that? Then the wife gets mad at her, runs her out, and she's pregnant. She's homeless. She doesn't have any food. She doesn't even have a country. And here she is in a big wilderness, facing a big wilderness. And whatever plan she may have had of her life or dreams or those, they're gone. Here she is looking at a vast wilderness and not wanted and pregnant. So her life began with a struggle, and here's this sorrow added to it. But what the most wonderful thing about this is the Lord God wants us to learn about Jesus from Hagar's story. He wants us to learn about the Savior. Here God sends an angel, and great Bible preachers and teachers teach that this is the pre-incarnate Jesus who came and spoke with Hagar and comforted her. She was not a nobody to God. She was not a nobody with nothing to offer. She was somebody to God, and he knew and loved her and sent the angel to offer Hagar something just for her, sent him to take care of Hagar. That is a wonderful, wonderful intervention as God reaches down into Hagar's life. I think the next thing God wants us to learn from Hagar is salvation. Here she is, an Egyptian, with, I'm sure she's not been taught about the God of Israel and or Abraham's God, and he's not a nation yet, but not told about Abraham's God. And she gets a visit from the angel of God. How wonderful is that? And I think what God is saying there in this account to Hagar, from the beginning, salvation has been offered to everyone. God doesn't exclude anyone. 1 Peter 3:9 says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want to punish anybody. If we go to hell, we walk over the blood of Christ to go, because God does not send us to hell. We refuse his son. We refuse salvation, and we send ourselves. So God has, from the beginning, has come offering salvation. Here is a stranger, if you will. God offers, comes to her in a special visitation and intercedes and helps in her life. Notice in verse, where he told her to submit herself. In verse 16, or chapter 16, in verse 9, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. God wants us to learn that from Hagar's story. That was a strange request for him to ask Hagar to do, to go back and to submit or come under the authority again of Sarah. Submission is not always easy, but when God tells us to submit to him, to wives to submit to your own husband, when he tells us to submit to those of us in authority, he will take care of us if we obey him in that submission. And she did it. That was a hard thing to do, but she came back and submitted herself to Sarah. Our life is the same thing. We have to submit our life to God's plan of salvation to get his blessing, to get the joy of our salvation, to have a relationship with the very God of heaven. And that submission to his word, to his will, is what we have to do. Hagar had to decide if it was worth it to submit to Sarah and to come back in, if you will, under the protection of God. And she did. She went back. That's a remarkable, this is a remarkable process that she went back and did like God told her to do. And I think the next thing that God would like us to learn from Hagar is about servanthood. She went back. She went back and submitted herself and stayed until Isaac was at least 3 years old, which would make her son about 13, because he's older. He was about 10 years older than Isaac. And she goes back and raises that little boy. And the difference in her life now is that she did what God told her to do instead of what Sarah told her to do. When we put ourselves under the authority of God and do our best, in Colossians he tells us to place ourselves under his authority, to work as unto the Lord, not unto man. I know I've had many jobs that were very hard because I fought against the people who were like my boss. And once the Lord spoke to me and calmed me down, and I worked as unto the Lord, my work was much easier, and it was also a blessing. And that's what Hagar did. She went back because Jesus told her, the angel told her to go back, and she went back under his authority and worked for Sarah. It's a wonderful picture of what salvation is for us. It's dying to ourselves and submitting our life to Jesus. We can see that in this act of obedience from Hagar. And the next thing that's in this story with Hagar is that God wants us to learn about sacrifice. I would ask you, do you think Hagar's life was any better when she went back with Sarah? Do you think things were pleasant and everything was happy ever after? Not necessarily, but the way Hagar saw things was better. The way, when we obey the Lord, the way we see things will be better for us. When we live a life of not trying to please ourselves but please our Father, things may not always be perfect for us, but they're always better. I know you've heard this statement, and I've heard it many times. It's always right to do the right thing. It's not always easy to do the right thing, but it's always right.
Amen to that.
And that's true. It's not always easy, but it's always right. And I think that's the thing we're missing so much in our society today, because people feel so they feel such a sense of entitlement that whatever makes them happy, whether it's a illicit relationship with somebody, or drugs, or alcohol, or whatever, any disobedience, disrespect for parents, that's the easy way. That's the way the world lives. But that doesn't make it right. And sometimes, I would say all the time, the hardest thing to do is where our kids live in the world. And I know my granddaughters face this. I know many of you guys have children that are younger that are facing this. It's not easy for Christian kids today. And we really need to be praying for Christian children today, because that statement I just made is really true in their life. It is always right to do the right thing, but it's not always easy to do the right thing. And many of them face ridicule and Jesus freaks and mama's boy or mama's girl and goody two-shoes and all those other horrible things that kids can say to each other. So Hagar's life teaches us about a life of sacrifice, that it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to turn out just because we did the right thing. It's not going to always be the easiest thing, but it will always be the right thing. And another thing that we learned from Hagar's story is that we have a good shepherd. The Lord had become her shepherd, and look how he took care of her when she needed guidance. Remember, she was on the way to hit the wall, and God intervened between the place of holy and trouble. He intervened in her life and guided her back to where she needed to be. What a wonderful Father we had that shepherds our life, that when we're headed to a wall and he gives us these choices and helps us as we make the right choice. Again, it's not always easy, but it's always right, and he will lead us through it. And look who else was helped because of that. Her son was helped because of her obedience. And then in chapter 21, when that horrible scene happened again, where this boy made fun of little Isaac and she was cast out and in a place where she thought her boy was going to die, how her shepherd came, how Jesus came watching over them, knew exactly where they were at, and took care of her. It's just amazing. This is an amazing story of a woman who a victim of circumstances, had no control over what was happening, and how God intervened in her life and helped. And Marilyn, I'm sure you can. I know I can. I can look back over my life and see when I didn't know quite what to do or didn't know what decisions to make or was about to make a bad decision, how God would intervene in my life and help me, send somebody or send something to stop me, to keep me from doing some things that would really hurt me. And I am so sorry for the times I ignored things and went on as Sarah did and didn't do the right thing and got in trouble because of it. But I'm so grateful for the times that I've looked back and seen how good God was to me, how he wonderfully took care of me. And here is the crowning point in this story. What we can learn from Hagar's story is how God keeps his word, whether spoken to Hagar or written to us. We have the written word of God that we can stand on the promises that he gave us. God always keeps his word. That can be good, that can be bad, because what he says he will do. And when he warns us in his word of if we don't accept the offer of salvation from his son, what will happen to us? If we don't accept the guidance of his word in our life, what will happen to us? I am amazed at how thorough and how good God is, that even down to the bad, he's going to let you know what will happen to you if you don't obey him. And many of us who know him and have served him a long time can testify that it's better to just go ahead and do it, because what the process for not doing that is so painful and sometimes costs a lot of time and hurts a lot of people around us. I've heard my dad, I think I've shared this with y'all before, that my dad was an alcoholic and would tell us that his drinking didn't hurt anybody but him. And that's not true. Our sins hurt those around us. When dads and moms don't live right, children suffer. And when we as believers don't do right, just as Abraham and Sarah here did not act like God's children, and Hagar was hurt from that. We need to watch the way we live. We need to guard our testimony. We need to guard our heart, because somebody is watching. I think we're going to give account for those careless acts and careless situations in our life when we've hurt somebody because of our behavior, just as Sarah and Abraham hurt this woman. But God is so wonderful that he kept his word to Hagar. Her son did become a powerful man, and he took care of her in her time of great need. Another thought that I had with this scripture tonight is, and I'm going to ask Marilyn and Brother Peter, I'm sure you probably have single mothers in your church. I was a single mom for about 13 years, and I can tell you that it was really hard. It was hard to be mom and dad to my son, but you have to do what you have to do. But I was so grateful when I got into a good, godly church that cared for single mothers, and they prayed for us. There were several of us women in the church who were single moms, and we had people in that church who cared for us. Your widows in your church, whose husbands have died, pray for those women. Sometimes that's a lonely, hard life, and we need to be aware as sisters in the church and believers. I lost my husband in 2014, So I know kind of what that's like. God has been so good to me, again, that I'm in a wonderful church, and a deacon has been assigned to several of our the women, and the deacon and his wife, over us, and they check on me, call me, and it is so comforting to know that somebody cares about me. So I thank the Lord for that. I am so grateful for that. But I'm asking you tonight to please be aware of the single moms. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that they are special to God. He cares for them. You know, don't just give them comfort, give them strength, give them hope. Another interesting fact about Hagar's life is that she is one of three mothers that had an angelic visitation. Remember Samson's mother that came to her and told her she was going to have a son and what to do with him, how to raise him. You remember that account? And then Mary, the mother of Jesus, also had an angelic announcement that she would become a mother. So Hagar is in some wonderful company as God looked after her, looked over her. So I pray that this has been a blessing to you tonight, to especially any single mother that may be listening tonight, how much God cares for you and what he did for Hagar. And I can testify as a single mom that God did take care of me. He worked in my behalf, worked sometimes when I didn't see it. And I'll give you a good phrase that I learned when I was in that condition where I had really depended on him. I depend on him all the time, but I think single moms really do. But a lady told me one time, she said, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart. So I pray tonight for you single moms who may be listening, or Sister Marilyn, as you maybe have occasion to work with some single moms in your church, just let them know when they can't see God's hand working in their life, they can trust his heart, for he cares for them. He shows it so wonderfully in this life of Hagar, an Egyptian woman far from home in horrible circumstances, and God took wonderful care of her and provided for her. It's a wonderful, wonderful account, and I pray it's been a blessing tonight. I'm going to pray, if you will, and then I'll give you the scripture for next month's lesson, and we'll be a meeting on, let's see, that's October the 15th. Right, October 15th.
Let me double check, sister.
Okay.
Yes, it'll be October 15th.
Okay, October 15th, and we will we're going to talk about some women in Jesus' life. There's about 12 that there's neat accounts of we're going to look at, and we'll begin with Peter's mother-in-law, and that story is found. It's just two verses, two short verses. But it'll give you something to think about. Luke 4:38-39. Luke 4:38-39. Peter's mother-in-law. And be thinking about that. Read that. And I pray you'll come with some comments and some discussion for next time. And I'm going to close, Marilyn, with a word of prayer.
Okay, sister.
Okay. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the privilege we've had tonight of discussing this account in Genesis of a lady who was caught in some dire circumstances and did not even know where to turn. And Father, I know there may be women listening, or men, children listening, or taking part in this program tonight, that they may be in that same place, that they're did not choose to be there, but found themselves in some dire circumstances. And I ask now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would speak to their heart as you did to Hagar, that you will intervene in their life, Father. Prove your love to them, God. Show yourself to them as many are headed to that wall of destruction, that wall of disobedience, that wall, Father, that could hurt them for life. I pray for your intervention as they pass by a place called sacred, a place, God, that you stand with arms open, outstretched, and ready to help, ready to heal, ready, Father, to offer salvation as you did to Hagar, ready to give that water from that well that never dries up, Father, from that wonderful well of salvation where the water gushes up in our spirit, God, and keeps us fed and supplies our need and keeps us full of your spirit. I pray tonight for them, and I pray for Marilyn and Peter's ministry there in Imperial Beach, and ask that you bless, give guidance. Father, give comfort, give strength, joy, all that they need as they serve you there. I pray for their financial, physical, material, all of their needs, that you as our very God, the God of salvation, the God of all, Father, I pray that you meet their needs tonight, and I thank you for them. Pray for their church and for their city, their county, for their witness there in that state, God. And, Father, how we would love to see revival, how we would love to see your people call on your name and do the things that we need to do to help bring salvation to those around us. So I lift them to you tonight. Thank you for them. Thank you for all that they do, and pray a special blessing on them. Now we bless you in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
You're always a blessing. I'm the things you touched on, I've been through myself, and I know there's a lot of other women out there and single moms that go through these things. But once we find the Lord, boy, it's a total different life.
Amen.
I just want to give you a little update. We did have a Bible study last night, and I had 9 children.
Amen.
Yeah, and the pastor asked them to do Father Abraham. So my son daughter, Savannah, she taught them it in a few minutes, and some of these kids had not even been here before, but it all turned out very nice. And
praise the Lord.
So things are, you know, if we can plant that seed in those little ones, who knows what can happen.
Amen. Amen. They can change. They can turn the world upside down. So that's what I'm praying.
Yeah. Nathan, are you there?
Nathan?
I'm sorry?
Is Nathan there so he can take over?
Oh, yeah.
I don't hear him.
All right. There he is. Nathan, we want to thank you for the time.
Thank you, too.
Thank you, Nathan.
God bless everyone.
God bless y'all.
God bless you, Nathan.
I appreciate it.
Love you, too.
Great lesson.
You have a great night.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I